I'd like to warmly welcome everyone tonight to the gospel meeting. We have a message to proclaim, and that message is concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps before we even sing the first hymn, I might mention it's with a sense of responsibility that I stand here. And it's a great privilege to once again speak well of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died on Calvary's cross for me, the one who shed his precious blood that I might have a place in glory. Perhaps we can sing the beginning, opening the meeting, a favorite hymn of mine, and I'm going to ask someone to please raise the tune. Hymn number 31. Perhaps we could all stand up and sing.
Sir.
look at these three stanzas of this hymn. First, it says, I will sing of my Redeemer. Then the second verse, it says, I will tell the wondrous story. And we've had much brought before us this conference about sharing the good news with others, telling forth the blessed news of the Lord Jesus and his love. The Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I think of that verse too. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in to the world and save sinners. I'm thankful for that because I was a lost sinner. And at one point in my life, I realized that I was lost and that I was on my way to hell and that I needed a Savior. The first verse here speaks of his death upon the cross of Christ. And the refrain or chorus says, sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. We are reminded that without the shedding of blood is no remission. I related a situation when I was asked to take the gospel at the conference in St. Louis, about one of the earlier deans of the theological school at Princeton University. And before each graduate would go out, he would bring them into his office and he would say to each one, make much of the blood of Christ. In the churches today, we have largely preaching of a bloodless religion. And that thread, the precious blood, runs through Scripture. We think of that night in the land of Egypt. What was it that sheltered those? It was the blood that was applied. And so tonight, that is the only remedy for sin, the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have somewhat of a theme to my remarks tonight. The threads might be a little loose. Some of the stories might be disjointed, but I think that they follow the same thread. Some years ago, there was a radio commentator. His name was Paul Harvey. And he had a program where he would review a news story. But he had a different perspective. And his broadcast was entitled, The Rest of the Story. Well, often if you read a newspaper today, you're left wondering, what has happened in this situation or what has happened in that situation? How did it end? I was struck just on Thursday when we were lining up for our flight in Newark to come to San Francisco and then on to Burbank. There was a couple ahead of us, and we were going through the TSA screening. Most of you perhaps are familiar with that. They ask you questions. One of the first things that you have to do when You get up to the desk, is to present your passport. You present your ticket. Well, it was a couple, probably they were in their mid-20s. They came up to the counter. They placed their tickets on the counter. The TSA agent said to them, do you have your passport? No, we don't have a passport. Do you have a driver's license? No, we don't have a driver's license. Do you have a utility bill or something to say, or a medical card to say who you are? No, we don't. Well, I'm sure there were thousands of people that passed through that airport on Thursday. And perhaps they were the only ones that were found in that same condition. I'm very sensitive when I fly. I make sure I have this form of identification and maybe even a backup form of identification because I'm afraid of being left behind. Now, we were the next ones in line. The agent said, you wait here, I have to call a supervisor. Well, we checked through, and I wish I knew what the rest of the story was in that case. Whether that supervisor said, it's all right, you can send them through, but I know what the story or what the decision would be if you tried to enter heaven without accepting the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I'd like to turn to a few scriptures tonight, and following the same theme, the rest of the story, some of these passages have already been referred to at the conference. First is in John's Gospel. And it was referred to earlier today, beginning with verse 35 of John 1. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples. But before we continue this story, let's look to the Lord for his help. Our loving God and our Father, tonight we would think of many that are undecided. And so we would just pray that they might open their hearts and accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior. We thank thee for that death upon the cross of Christ. And we just thank thee for the efficacy and value of that shed blood. We seek thy help, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, here again, it says, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Again, we think of our brother Bruce's message to us the other day about the need to follow. And Jesus turned again. Think of our brother's message to us today. And saw them following and said unto them, what seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Then one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. We're going to stop the story here. We're going to stop after it mentions one of the two. But what is the rest of the story? It says, he findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. We have found the Messiah. And we see in verse 45 another person mentioned. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him. We have found him. A person, not a religion. We have found him. Have you found him tonight? I was thinking of our brother's admonition to witness to others. And many years ago, my Uncle Guilford quoted a little line that has stuck with me concerning personal evangelism. And that is a play on words. I'll quote it first without spelling it out. But once we spell it out, I think we'll know what it means. It goes like this. If each one, how many one ones would be one for Christ? Okay, the first one is W-O-N. The second one is O-N-E. So I'm going to repeat it again. If each one, how many one ones would be one for Christ? I'm going to relate a story now that was brought to my attention some years ago by our brother Cam Wilkin, who Brother Bill knows well. He had a love for souls and was a personal evangelist. And he said, Bruce, I'd like to recommend a little video on YouTube. And after I got home from that conference, I looked at the video. The title of the video was The Man from George Street. Perhaps some of you have seen that video. And I'm going to relate the contents of that video. Some years ago, there was a Baptist minister in London, England. And at the end of the service, a man raised his hand in the back of the church and said, Could I give you my testimony? And the Baptist minister said, You certainly can. And he said, a number of years ago, I was in Sydney, Australia, and I went down a street, and a little old man jumped out in front of me with a pamphlet. I didn't know what this was. And he said to me, if you died tonight, where would you spend eternity? Said, this struck me. So I went home. I was troubled all night. I went to a local Baptist church. I talked to the preacher, and I was led to Christ. Sometime afterwards, this Baptist preacher in England had a chance to go to Australia. And one of the first places he was at was Adelaide in Australia. And he related that incident of this little old man in Sydney. And he said, Is there anyone here also would like to give a testimony concerning their conversion? So there was a man that stood up in the back. He said, I also was on George Street at a certain time. And a little polite man came out to me, handed me a pamphlet, and said, If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? Again, he was troubled that night. He sought the help of a Christian that he knew and was led to Christ. This Baptist preacher's next stop was in Perth, Australia. And he was invited out to dinner by one of the elders of the church there. And this elder said to him, "I was a regular churchgoer. When I was young, I was in the boys' brigade. But I wasn't saved." But he said, "One day I happened to be in Sydney. I was on George Street, and this little old man came out with a pamphlet and said, 'If you died tonight, would you go to heaven?'" He said, "That really irritated me, angered me. And I went back to my home church and I told the pastor. Pastor said, 'That was a good message. You had better heed it.' And as a result, he came under conviction and accepted Christ as his Savior. 6 months or so later, the same Baptist minister from England went to a convention in Keswick, England. And after a series of meetings, he asked those assembled there if anyone wanted to come up and give a testimony. There were four people that stood up, and all four spoke about a little old man, gray-headed man, in Sydney, Australia, that handed them a tract and asked them, if they died tonight, would they go to heaven? A little bit later, he had to go to a pastor's conference in the Caribbean. And again, at the close of the meeting, he asked those in the audience if they wanted to share a testimony. And five pastors got up and testified and confirmed the same fact that they had been presented a tract on George Street in Sydney, Australia. One of them said, "Before I entered the ministry, I was in the Navy, and I lived a pretty rough life. In fact, any time I was given leave, I would go to the nearest bar and I would really hit it up. And I said, I remember this one night. I was very drunk. I wasn't thinking correctly, right? I boarded the wrong bus, and the bus dropped me off on George Street. Was that an accident? No, it was a divine appointment." And he went on to say, "I thought I had an apparition. I thought I saw a ghost. This little white-headed man came out to me, handed me a paper, and asked me the question, 'If you died tonight, would you go to heaven?' He said, 'When I sobered up, the reality of what he said hit me. And he accepted the Lord Jesus as Savior.' About a year later, the same Baptist minister went to a pastor's conference in northeastern India, where there were roughly 500 missionaries assembled. And he asked anyone there to give a testimony concerning their salvation. And four or five individuals got up and mentioned that little man from George Street in Sydney. One of the men said, I was on an Indian diplomatic mission to Australia. I was doing some shopping for my wife on George Street, and I was handed a tract, and it was a result of my salvation. Now, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. This Baptist minister was very, very curious. And he wanted to know whether this little old man, as he was referred to, was still alive. And someone thought that they knew who he was and where he lived. So he made a trip to Sydney. And there he found out where this man lived. His name was Frank Jenner. And at this stage of life, he was getting quite feeble. He could hardly hold a teacup still in order to be able to take a drink of tea. And this Baptist minister related the account that he had been given. And tears flowed from this man's eyes. And he said, in over 40 years that I've been out on the street, I never heard of one person accepting the Lord as their Savior. This man, Frank Jenner, was in the Navy at one time, led a very rough and wild life, and he was saved when he put his trust in the Lord Jesus and the precious blood that he shed. And he was determined to share the story of his conversion to others. And he was not a man that was very eloquent, but he thought that there was something that the Lord would have him to do. And so he felt that each day he wanted to present a gospel pamphlet to at least 10 people. And this went on for a period of 40 years that this man stood on the street corner pleading for souls. I think of that line of that hymn, which is very sad. God beseeching, man refusing, to be made eternally glad. As you sit here tonight and you hear of the claims of Christ, you hear of the love, that blessed love of God that sent his Son, what is your response? And I don't want to be complicated in my remarks tonight, but just want to be simple, even so even the youngest can understand. And that message tonight is God loves you. Christ died for you, and he wants you to be with him in glory or in heaven. I have a couple other incidents that I would like to relate to concerning the rest of the story. As some of you may know, I taught history for nearly 37 years, and certain aspects of history interested me very much. And I'd like to relate a story concerning a brother in the Lord who was useful in many ways, a man by the name of Ira Sankey. He was an associate of the evangelist D.L. Moody. On this one occasion, Sankey was coming back from a crusade in Europe. He was on a ship. The ship was a little delayed, wouldn't reach port on the designated date. So the captain of the ship, knowing that Mr. Sankey was aboard, asked Mr. Sankey if he would lead a song service. And so they gathered some of the passengers together on deck, and they sang a lot of well-known gospel songs. And someone gave out